Okay, the reason for tonight's topic is benching halakos, is that this past Shabbos, my son, who's learning in Eretz Yisrael for the year, had an off Shabbos, so we set him up to stay in my parents' apartment in Yerushalayim and to go to my sister and brother-in-law for Friday night and Shabbos day to go to friends of ours who live in Yerushalayim. And he had a wonderful Shabbos, and he texted me after Shabbos asking why it is that we don't bench halakos. And he explained to me that one of his hosts, surprisingly not my sister, one of his hosts told him it's beferish in the Mishnah Berurah that you're supposed to bench halakos, and it's very hard to justify why people don't use a kos stam for birchas hamazon all the time. Forget about Shabbos, just stam for birchas hamazon whenever you eat a meal. Why is it that you don't bench halakos? So I felt like it was like a rite of passage that I've reached the point where my son is telling me I'm not from enough. So I felt very good. But he, of course, he said in a very respectful way. He wasn't telling me I'm not from enough, but he was just asking why it is. And it happens to be that I should be so prepared to answer all of his questions as it was to answer this one, because I already started writing essays on brachos related issues for hopefully what will be the next volume of Hakona Olamo, and I wrote a chapter on Birchas Hamazon Halakos. So what you have in front of you is that chapter. It is not edited at all, not even like reading it through a second time, not edited at all. We're at the very early stages, but at least we'll be able to use it as an outline, and certainly and everyone is welcome to take it home and read it, tell me where I made mistakes, and we have probably about 9-10 more months till final corrections need to be in on something like this. But let's discuss this issue of benching alakos. It starts, there's a Gemara Maseches, meaning the friend of mine who mentioned this to my son when they were talking and learning that the Mishnah Berurah says you have to bench alakos is 100% correct. Mishnah Berurah says you have to bench alakos. It's pretty clear in the Mishnah Berurah, meaning if you can learn halacha from the Mishnah Berurah and you accept that as the binding final psak, that would be the conclusion that one would reach, that a person is supposed to bench alakos, and really, ideally, even when you're just eating biyachidus, you should bench alakos. That would be the conclusion that one would reach. So, in fact, when I was in Camp Keli over the summer, one of the Talmidim also was learning Mishnah Berurah, and he asked me, why is it that we're not benching alakos all the time? We should have it every Suda in the camp. They should have a bottle of wine there, and maybe grape juice, not wine. It may not be a great idea to have wine, but grape juice, and they should bench alakos all the time. So why is it that we don't do it? So this sugya starts in Maseches Pesachim Daf Kuf Hei Mem Beis. The Gemara tells us, and this is in the first paragraph of the Hakdama, Hanichnas the base of Motzoi Shabbos, Mevarech Ale Yayin, Vala Ma'or, Vala Besamim, a person who comes into his house on Motzoi Shabbos, which you would think that that's just a throwaway phrase, that he comes into his house. What do I care if he's coming into his house, he was in his house, he woke up from his nap, what difference does it make what the circumstances are? But we're going to see, Rishonim are medayek from every word over here. Person comes into his house, he enters his house on Motzoi Shabbos. What does he do? He says a bar priyagafen on the wine, he says a bar mori eish, he says a bar mine v'samim, then he says havdala al hakos, v'im ein lo el hakos echad, but if he only has one kos, manicho ad the achar hamazon, u'mishal shalom pulon la'achrav. He shouldn't use that kos immediately for havdala. He should wait until after he finishes his su'udas malav malka, and after he finishes su'udas malav malka, use that kos for everything, for the benching and the havdala, and everything. He'll bundle it all together on that one kos. And the Gemara goes on to say, shmamina me'amas nisa timni. We see 8 things from this brisa, from this description of what this fellow does. One of those things is bracha to una kos. So it seems, forget about Mishnah Berurah, black on white in the Gemara, that when you bench, you require a kos for birchas hamazon. So what we want to figure out are, we'll probably get to 3 out of the following 4 topics. First of all, how strong is this chiyuv to be mevarech al kos? Meaning, let's say I come home and I open up my refrigerator and I see that there's orange juice, there's milk, there is no wine, or there is no grape juice in the fridge, but I'm hungry. Should I not eat? Should I specifically avoid having a meal? Because if I eat, then I'm going to have to say a bracha al hakos, and I know that I don't have a kos. So is it forbidden to eat because I know that I don't have a kos? Where do we have such a similar thing that you can't eat because you don't have the kos to be able to? We have such a thing in halacha. When you're not allowed to eat before you do something al hakos? Motzoi Shabbos, Havdalah, right? If you don't have, you're not going to be able, you don't have a kosher for Havdalah, so you wait, unless you think it's not coming. If you think it's not coming, okay, so you don't have to fast forever. But if you think it might be coming, so don't eat yet. Wait till you have a kosher Havdalah. If it's coming the next morning, wait till the next morning, and you'll have a kosher. So does that halacha apply over here as well? That's issue number one. How strong is this chiyuv? Issue number two is, when does this chiyuv apply? Meaning, is this only, is this even if I have a tuna fish sandwich on a Tuesday afternoon for lunch all by myself, that I would, you know, I take a bagel on the go and, you know, from a drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm eating in my car all by myself, that I would have to take out, you know, pull over to the side of the road and pour, you know, with a becher and say Birch Samazon a la kos? Or does this chiv only apply, you know, typically when do we do it? At a bris milah, at a chasana. We don't really, not Sheva Brachos, there's not really much other times that it's universally accepted to do it. So what are the possibilities? There are in fact three shitos we're going to see. What are the possibilities of when the chiyuv is? So one possibility is, like we said, even if you just have, you're eating all alone. It's a, the Gemara said, bracha to unakos. It wasn't mechalik. Didn't say if you're eating with X number of people, if it's a special day or a special occasion, just bracha to unakos. You can eat a kos for Birchas Hamazon. What are the other possibilities? Well, mezumen would be a logical possibility. Minyan would be a very logical possibility. Maybe a special day, right? It turns out, as we'll see, there are lots of, and there's another logical possibility, that tu'una doesn't mean chiyuv. That tu'una means it's a really nice thing to have a kos, but it's not really a chiyuv. So there's no chiyuv at all. Right, that's another possibility, although not the mashmaus of the Gemara, that's another possibility. So we have five logical possibilities, there are only three shitos in Rishonim. So some of those possibilities are not going to be expressed by any Rishonim, at least any of the major Rishonim that are quoted by the Poskim. There might be some minor Rishon somewhere out there that I couldn't find, but certainly the ones that are quoted by the Poskim. And then we have to figure out, if there really is such a great chiyuv, like the Gemara sounds like, and like the Mishnah Berurah Paskens Lahalacha, why does no one do it? Are we all a bunch of avaryanim? Throw it on the list. It's Chodesh Elul, another thing to do tshuva for. You know, all those times that we bench without a kos. And then the topic we may or may not get to, probably won't get to, is whether you can use Chamar Medina. That if you don't have wine, so we know for Kiddush, if you don't have wine, or for Havdalah, if you don't have wine, so you could use Chamar Medina. Is this Chiyuv Bracha Lakos, is it permissible with Chamar Medina also? Or is there some reason why this should have to dafka be a Kos Shel Yayin? So first let's start with the Shitos and the Rishonim. When does one require a Kos? So the first Shita is that even a Yachid, even if you're benching all alone, that is the Shita of Tosfos, in Psachim Daf Kufay and Beis, in the name of the Rashbam. Tosfos quotes from the Rashbam that Birch Samazim is Tuna Kos Afilu B'Yachid, and that's what the Torah thinks is correct, La Halacha, that even B'Yachid, you have to say Birch Samazim Al Kos. Says the Beis Yosef, and this is quoted on the first page of your of the handouts, L'fichach Kosva Tur, Shetzarech L'chazer Achrav, K'derech Shemachazin Al Mitzvos. That a person has to go and look for a Kos, just like you would go and look for a Lula for Sukkot, just like you'd go and look for a shofar for Rosh Hashanah. You have a mitzvah to do, you have to make sure you have the ability to do the mitzvah. The Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru doesn't sell kosos shel yayin, doesn't matter. You have to go to the wine store next door and get a kos shel yayin. And also Rabbeinu Yeruchim, Rabbeinu Yonah, they all hold afilu biyachid, that even biyachid, you require a kos shel yayin. That is the strictest point of view of all of the shitos. What's the raya? So there are five rayas to the shita. Raya number one, Tosa says, and I number them over here for you, is that the braisa started out by saying, hanichnas lebeso. Who was the guy that required a kos? It was someone who was nichnas lebeso. Nichnas sounds like he's coming in all alone. So it sounds like he's a yachid. Nichnas lebeso. It doesn't say hanichnasim lebesam. Nichnas lebeso. So he's coming in all alone. The Rosh is not convinced by that raya, because the Rosh says, yeah, he might have come in all alone, but he may have then come home to his 12 children and 15 nieces and nephews, and there could be a house full of people. There could be 100 people in his house. So you can hanichnas lebeis doesn't mean that he's benching alone. He might be benching with a lot of people. So the counterpoint would probably be, Tosfos would probably say, no, why were all those people not with him in shul? What does it mean, nichnas lebeis? He was in shul, he was davening, and now he came home from davening. What, so that everyone else didn't daven? They were just sitting there in the house? Doesn't make sense. You would imagine that all the adult males would have been davening with him, and they would come in together. So it must be, if it's nichnas lebeis, he's all alone. That is raya number one. Raya number two, Tosfos quotes from a Gemara later on in Pesach, and the Gemara says that we need, as we know, Dalet Kosos on the night of the Seder, and why is it that we have a third kos? What do we do with the third kos? The third kos is Omer Malav Birchas Hamazon. We bench on the third kos. Now, who's Chayiv in Dalet Kosos? Who's Chayiv? Everybody's Chayiv in Dalet Kosos. Does it need to be Dafka if it's a Mezuman, you have Dalet Kosos, Dafka Minyan? No, we have Dalet Kosos no matter what. Even Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to do with Matzah and with Dalet Kosos, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, ideally you should have someone to tell it to, but even if you're all alone, you still got to do the mitzvah Salayla, including Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matzah and Mar and Dalet Kosos. So if the whole point of the third coast, the whole reason we have a third coast, is because you need Birchas Hamazon al Kos, and we know that all four koses, including the third, is a chiyuv even on a yachid. So mele, it's clear that a yachid has to say birchas hamazon al kos. How would you reject that raya? So Tosfos themselves reject that raya, and they say, no, it could be that there's a chiyuv to be mevarich al kos when you have a mezuman. So when they were mesakin the idea of dalet kosos, they decided it would make sense that meaning Dalet Kosos is an independent mitzvah, not related to necessarily, it's not just a coincidence that it turns out to be four. Meaning it's not like they say, oh, you need to say Kiddush, Alakos. Then there's a requirement of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Alakos. And then there's a requirement of benching alakos. And then there's a requirement of halal alakos. Oh, look at that, it's four. And there happen to be a lot of other fours for the night. That's just a coincidence. But these are all independent chiyuv. No, they were mesakein dafka dalid kosos. That there was dafka mitzvah, they were mesakein to have four kosos. Once they're going to be mesakein four kosos, they then plug it into different parts of the night to make it align with different parts. And it makes sense to put one on benching, because at least on certain occasions, you have a mezuman or more, that there's at least an Indian, perhaps a chiyuv, to be mevarech al kos. So they just didn't put it on benching, but it's not an indication necessarily that a yachid is chayiv in having a koshal bracha. Then Tosfos has a third raya, and they quote from a Medrash Shachar Tov that I do not understand at all, but the Medrash Shachar Tov, I quoted the whole Lashon of it over here, Medrash Shachar Tov tells some sort of story, which I don't really get the point of the story, but the story goes something like this, that there was a tzaddik and a rasha that were traveling, and they were walking down the road, and they saw a pundak echad, they saw an inn, and this inn looked like a five-star hotel. They had everything, they had the most delicious foods that they were offering, the most comfortable accommodations, and the rasha went in and said, I want one of everything, give me everything, and he started stuffing his face, and the tzaddik started thinking to himself, why do they still have everything available? It must be, this isn't a new place, it must be that other people aren't taking advantage of this for some reason. Why aren't they taking advantage? It must be that the prices are going to be very high, that the innkeeper is going to make very great demands of her. So the tzaddik says, just give me a bowl of beans. And they brought the tzaddik a bowl of beans, and the Rasha is laughing at the tzaddik the whole time. Look at this fool, he doesn't realize all these great delicacies that he has. And the tzaddik is laughing at the Rasha that he doesn't know what he's in for. So I didn't get exactly what the Rasha was in for, whether they were going to physically assault him, or whether they were, because it's on the pasuk of Shinei Rishon Shibarta, whether they were going to knock out his teeth, or they were going to make certain demands. But whatever it was, at the end of the meal, the tzaddik said, I would like two kosos, and he was amad ubirech ala kos. He stood up and he was mevarech al kos. And at the end, they charged him for the bowl of beans and the two kosos, because that's all he ended up eating. So says Tosfos, what do you see in the Medrash? You're mevarech al kos, and he was a tzaddik. He wasn't even eating with Russia. He was eating all alone, and he was mevarech al kos. So there are many reasons why one might not be convinced by that Medrash as the greatest raya that a yachid has to mevarech al kos. First of all, it's a story, meaning it's an agadic statement that's supposed to teach us some moral lesson about gluttony, about the repercussions of our actions, whatever the moral lesson is, but it's likely not meant to be taken as a halachic statement of this is the way one must behave. Furthermore, there are parts of it that we know are not true la'alacha. For example, what did it say about the tzaddik? He took the kos, amad ubirech. Are you supposed to stand for benching? Certainly not. That's incorrect la'alacha. So we're not going to be able to be medayik any halachos from that medrash, and therefore that raya does not seem to work out either. A fourth raya that even a yachid would have to be mevarich al hakos. Tosus quotes from Rabbeinu Yechiel mi Paris, where he says that if you were not chayiv to say a bracha al hakos biyachid, when that guy came home, the guy that the Gemara was talking about, comes home and he realizes that he only has one kos. You know, sometimes when you come home and you pour from the wine bottle whatever's left, and it just works out just perfect, and it's like you feel like, you know, that's in the Jewish book of awesome, you know, that Hashem is smiling at you, that just enough wine, where you know, no dropping an ice cube, nothing, just perfect amount. The guy comes home and he realizes he has exactly one kos, so he shouldn't have waited. If he only had one kos, he shouldn't have waited and then said Abdullah and benching. He should have said Abdullah on the coast right away and then eaten biyachidus without a group, right? And then he wouldn't require the coast for Birchas Hamazon. What does the Gemara say the guy does? He should wait till after his meal, after Malav Malka, and then at the end of the Malav Malka, he'll say Abdullah with the Koshal Bracha altogether. Why don't you just avoid the chiv of a Koshal Bracha? If it's so easy to avoid, have your Malav Malka by yourself, and then you could avoid it. So just avoid the whole chiyuv. Elamai, you see from here, there's no avoiding it. Even if you eat Malav Malka all by yourself, you're still going to be chayiv in a koshal bracha. One could take issue with this raya as well. First of all, it's not so clear. The Netziv points out, all we know about this guy is he walked into his house and he had a chiyuv Avdallah, and there was going to be a meal going on that night. We have no idea who was in his house or where he was holding in terms of his meal. He might have already been in the middle of his meal, ran out to Dav Marv and came back. There might have been a whole bunch of people already around the table eating the meal when he came in. If that's the case, there's no avoiding it. It's already started. The chiv is already there. But furthermore, with many of these types of issues, you're balancing different considerations. Meaning what the guy wants to do, he wants to have a proper Malav Malka. He wants to be malavah the Shabbos Malka away properly. He wants to show a sense of respect for Shabbos. So what are we going to tell him to do? Go and have your pizza in a corner all by yourself and don't eat with others. No, he wants to have a nice malavah Malka. So maybe given the two options, you could either bundle everything together on one kos, or you could avoid the chiyuv of a kos, but then your malavah Malka is going to be pathetic. Maybe it's better to have a proper Malav Malka, better to have a Rovam at the Malav Malka. I couldn't find anywhere that said explicitly that there is such an Indian to have a Rovam at Malav Malka. I would imagine in Hasidic sources such a thing comes up, but I couldn't find anywhere explicitly that it says that you have to have a Rovam at Malav Malka, but I think it's Mistaver based on the following. Beis Yosef writes in Simon Shin, in the name of the Shibali Aleket, in Simon Kuf Lamed, that by Malav Malka, Mashal Shemalavinas HaMelech B'tziyaso, Kishem Shemalavinoso B'knisaso. That Malav Malka is to be Malav the Melech on the way out, the same way we're Malav the Melech on the way in. When are we Malav the Melech on the way in? So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Kuf Yutes, Amr Ablazer, La'olam Yisader Adam Shulchanu B'Erev Shabbos. Person should set his table in Erev Shabbos. V'afli She'enu Tzarech Halak Zayis. V'amr Abichanin, La'olam Yisader Adam Shulchanu Motzai Shabbos. V'afli She'enu Tzarech Halak Zayis. That a person should set his table before Shabbos, after Shabbos, even if he doesn't plan on eating very much. And then so you see that there's this link between Malava Malka and Kabbalah Shabbos. And what do we know about Kabbalah Shabbos? Is Kabbalah Shabbos something that's any different if done alone or done with a group? It's a beferish Gemara Baba Kama Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara Baba Kama Daf Lamed Beis says, Bo v'neitze likros kala malchusa. That the Chachamim used to stop their Batei Medrash and say, everyone, let's go out and greet kala malchusa. So if there is this equation between bringing in Shabbos and sending Shabbos out, and we have a Gemara that says that when they would bring in Shabbos, the whole Beis Medrash would go out, that's the makor of our minog, by the way, to turn toward the door or turn toward the back of the shul by the end of L'chadodi. That's the bo v'neitze to greet Shabbos Malchus. So that's where that minog comes from. There's a discussion what exactly the proper minog is. Should you face the back of the shul, you know, the opposite of the Aron Kodesh, or should you dafka face the door? Should you dafka face the opposite of Mizrach? So, depending on the shul, that could be in three different places. In the old YU based Medrash, where their Aron Kodesh was not in Mizrach, the Aron Kodesh was in Tzafon, and the doors were on Mizrach. So by L'chadodi, that people facing in three different directions, everyone was just like bowing to each other. No one knew exactly which way to go, because if you face the door, you're facing Mizrach, right? If you're facing the opposite of Mizrach, you're facing the opposite of the door, and if you're facing the opposite of the Aron Kodesh, you're facing Darom. The only direction people weren't facing was Tzafon, except for those who were too confused and were paralyzed and didn't know how to, couldn't move. But there is this inyan that when it comes to greeting Shabbos, to go greet Shabbos in a group. And in fact, it's not just the Gemara. The way the Rambam elaborates on that Gemara in the 30th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, all this, by the way, is in footnote number 2. The Rambam writes, "V'chachamim arishonim ayu mekabtzin talmideyan b'erev Shabbos." Mekabtzin Talmideyan, it's explicit. They would gather together groups of Talmidim, umisatvim va'omrim bo v'netzim l'kro Shabbos HaMelech. Now let's go greet the Shabbos HaMelech. So it stands to reason that a Melav Malka would be ideal if it were done in a group with a proper amount of kavod, if it's the flip side of a Kabbalah Shabbos. So maybe that fourth raya is not a great raya either. Fifth raya, the Rush brings in the 8th parak of Maseches Brachos, that the Gemara doesn't say, what does the Gemara say? We say 8 things that we learn from the Braisa, and one of them is bracha to unakos. It never says zimun to unakos, it says bracha to unakos. That's very different. If it sounds like any birch samazon, even if it's not a zimun. So those are the 5 rayas for the shita that any benching automatically requires a kos. Second shita is that no, only with the mezumin. And Tosa says, that's the minhag ha'olam. Minhag ha'olam, Tosa says, with a mezumin you have a kos, without a mezumin you don't have a kos. And Bir Agra, he writes that it has to be that it's only with a mezumin. Why? He points to a Tosa elsewhere in Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Zayin, that has the following issue. The sheet of Rabbi Gamliel is that you bench even if you have yayin. Meaning we only bench if we have bread, obviously. And we say bracha achas mein shalosh. We say we'll call alamich if you have ala gefen if you have yayin. The sheet of Rabbi Gamliel is that you have to bench if you have yayin. So let's think about this. According to Rabbi Gamliel, how's it going to work out? Person has to bench, right? So he's got to bench ala kos. Good. So bench ala kos. What do you do with the kos when you're done benching? You drink it, right? Now what does he got to do? Bench again. So he's just going to be in this drunken cycle until he passes out of just benching and benching and benching. It would be impossible.
Isn't it given that you have to drink the
kos? So the Gra alludes to that, if I'm not mistaken. Tosus rather alludes to that. And he says, it's true that it may not be an absolute requirement to drink the kos, but it's certainly the ideal to drink the kos. I'm very sorry, but it's certainly ideal to do more than just toin, to drink a full of revius. So if that's the case, there's no way to avoid it, according to Rabbi Gamliel. So says the Gra, must be that if you're benching, if you're eating biyachid, then you don't need a bracha l'kos. So the original mezumin was with a group, but then he's the only one that drank the kos. No one else drank the kos, so that's not going to require a kos for that birch samazon. Yes, it will require another birch samazon, but it's not going to require birch samazon a la kos. So that is the second shita. Now it happens to be, I'm totally unfamiliar with these sources, but there are many sources apparently in Torah Hanistar, in the Zohar, in the Arizal, and other Kabbalistic works that very much not only agree with the second approach, that only when there is mezumin do you bench, but specifically disagree with the first approach.
meaning they say it's a sakana, it's not good. A person should not bench ala kos when you're eating biyichidos. They have a real issue with doing so. So in Torah Hanistar, the second approach seems to be the favorite approach, but not just that it's the favorite approach, but that the first approach is highly problematic. To be mevarich ala kos with only an individual. What's the third shita? So the third shita is you don't really need to bench ala kos. What do you mean? The Gemara says you have to bracha tuna kos. This is the shita's Harambam. So we're not talking about minor rishon over here. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos Perek Zayin Halacha Tezvav, this is toward the bottom of page 2 by the Yos Gimel, says the Rambam af al pi she'in birchas hamazon tzricha yayin. In birich ala yayin keminak shamarnu tzarich sheyadiyah chos shal brach mibufnim v'lifshav osu mibachutz. Says the Rambam, even though it's a given, you don't need wine for birch samazon. If you're going to do it, here's how. Here's how to do it. You have to make sure to rinse the kos, and he goes through the things that a koshal bracha requires. Says the Kesef Mishnah, that which the Rambam says, she'ein birch samazon tuna kos, what do you do with the Gemara in Pesachim? So he says, tenan mazglo koshlishi omer lav birch samazon u'begemara shmami birch samazon tuna kos, that you need a kos. So he says, the Rif and the Ran say that Birch Samazon is Eina Tuna Kos, and that really the Dalit Kosos were Tekin Rabbanan Derecherus, and it wasn't really about a Kos of Birch Samazon. That there is this other Shita, that it's only Derecherus, and that it's not really, that we have Dalit Kosos, but it's not really totally connected to Birch Samazon. And in fact, the Beis Yosef, when elaborating on this Shita, says this Shita is not completely rejecting the idea of Bracha Lakos. What the Shita is saying is Bracha to Unakos. It's a good idea, but not that it's a requirement. It falls short of being a Chiyuv. It's a Hidur. It's a very nice thing to do. So even the Shita that says that there's no Chiyuv would still say, according to the Beis Yosef, that there's a Hidur. Now it's important to realize over here, who's the Shita that says that there's no Chiyuv? It's the Rambam and the Rif. Now, as compelling as the other Shitos were, from the Lashon of the Gemara itself, you have the Rambam and the Rif, who both say that it's only a Hidur and not a Chiyuv. Why is that critical? Because in Paskin and Shulchan Aruch takes the majority opinion of the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Rif. Now, the Rashba and the Ritva go even further. And they say that, no, the daya that holds that you don't need a kos, holds you don't need it at all. Not even a mitzvah min hamavcher. That it's not even required as a mitzvah min hamavcher. That we simply reject the daya that says bracha tuna kos. We paskin like a different daya in the Gemara that doesn't say it explicitly, but at least implies that birch samazon is ain't a tuna kos. Meaning, they understand the daya in the Gemara that says that dalit kosos, tikkun rabban, derecherus, to mean that it's nothing to do with Birch Samazon. The Birch Samazon, there's nothing special about Birch Samazon and a kos. So essentially what we have here is three shitos, but there are two branches of the third shita. Shita number one is you always need a kos, and we had five rayas, none of them were particularly compelling. Shita number two is only when you have a mezumin you need a kos, and we send them a kubbalim and prefer that. Shita number three is you never need a kos, but there are two branches of that shita. There's the Beis Yosef's understanding you never need, but it's always preferred. And you have the Rashba and the Ritva's understanding, you never need, but and it's not even preferred, it just doesn't matter, it's just totally irrelevant. So how do we paskin la'alacha? So you open up a Shulchan Aruch quotes all three Shitos. Great. So where does that leave us? Shulchan Aruch says first, Yesh Omrim, the first Yesh Omrim he quotes, is the first one that we mentioned, that no matter what, you always need a kos. The Shulchan Aruch even goes a step further, and he says, if you hold that way, like that first daya, don't eat unless you know that you have a kos in your house. Same way, if you're baking a cake or something, you're not going to start the recipe unless you make sure that you have all the ingredients, or a husband is willing to run out to the store in the middle of your baking process to quickly grab something for you. You cannot eat unless you know you have all the requirements. So you cannot eat unless you have a kos. Now that, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, is not so pashut. Meaning, where does the Shulchan Aruch get that from? From Avdallah, like we said before. You're not supposed to eat until you said Avdallah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham that there's a lot of room to distinguish between not eating before Avdallah and not eating unless you have a kos for birchas hamazon. Three reasons to be mechalel. First of all, by Avdallah, second you walk into your house on Matzah Shabbos, the chi of Avdallah is there already. Good. Now you have a chi of Avdallah, don't eat without a kos. Don't eat without doing Avdallah. When you start to eat a meal, you're not yet chayiv in birchas hamazon. So the chiv of the kos isn't there yet. So it's a jump to say that, oh, if I'm not allowed to eat before Avdallah, I'm not allowed to eat before Avdallah because I'm already chayiv in Avdallah. It's a jump to say that I'm therefore not allowed to eat unless I have a kos because of birchas hamazon. I'm not chayiv in birchas hamazon right now. Give me time to be chayiv. I'm not even chayiv yet. So that's one difference. Second difference, the Gemara says that someone who only has one kos should say Kiddush HaYom on it and not use it for Birchas HaMazon, and yet he's still allowed to eat. But if you're not allowed to eat, if you don't have wine for Birchas HaMazon, why would the Gemara say the Gemara should have had better advice. The Gemara should have said, say Kiddush on bread, save that kos for Birchas HaMazon, that way you'll be able to eat. The Gemara didn't think of that. It must be that you're allowed to eat. And third, the Gemara in Erevin mentions that most people have plenty of wine on the first day of Yantiv. Most people don't have that much wine left over for Chol HaMoed. They don't have any wine left over on Chol HaMoed. So what, they fasted on Chol HaMoed? Probably not. It must be that you're allowed to eat, even if you don't have a kos. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes there, the Magen Avraham quotes there, two other reasons to be mekel. There's a day that even Havdalah you're allowed to eat without a kos, even though we don't pass in that way. And there's a day that Birchas HaMazon doesn't require a kos at all, like the Shittas Rambam and the Rif. So with all that together, he says, it's a little much to say, don't eat unless you have a kos. That far we're not going to go. But then the Shulchan Aruch adds another detail, again, all within this Shita, that you always need a kos. And Shulchan Aruch says, what if you have, so again, always need a kos means, even if you're eating all by yourself, you need a kos. What if you have two people? What if you have a mezumen? How many kosos do you need? One person. What if you have two people eating together? Not a mezumen. Is one kos going to be good enough for the two people? Or does each person need their own kos? Says the Shulchan Aruch, each person needs their own kos. They can't share a kos. Why not? Why is it that by a mezumen, it's okay, let them, one person will have a kos? Two people, they can't share kos. Now, here's where the lamdas gets interesting. Chaznish explains that when you're making mezumen, one person is being motzi everybody, with shomea ko'ona. And it's a tziruf of everyone together. So if it's a tziruf of everyone together, my benching counts for everybody's benching, so therefore my kos counts for everybody's kos. When you have two people eating together, we're not Yotzei Shomei HaKohanah. We don't create a tziruf. Each person has to bench on their own. See, we're used to having everyone bench on their own all the time, but that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a group of people eating together, one person is supposed to bench and everyone else is supposed to listen. Okay, our minhag is not like that because we assume that people have a hard time listening. People have a hard time focusing and concentrating and listening to, just like we don't listen to Chazaras HaShatz, and we don't listen. We have a hard time, I shouldn't say that, people find it challenging sometimes to listen to Chazaras HaShatz. We have a hard time listening, so we bench on our own. But the halacha really is, one person benches, everyone else listens. So good, so that one person's benching goes for all of us. When you have two people, each person benches on their own. So that guy's kos has nothing to do with me. That's how the Chaznish explains. Now the Chaznish then adds that what you see from regular benching is an important chiddush in the din of Shomei HaKa'ona. See, Shomei HaKa'ona means that if I'm saying something and you're listening, it's as if you said it as well. So I'm saying benching with a kos, you're listening, it's as if you did what? As if you said benching, it's as if you're carrying a kos also? Says Chaznish, yes. Apparently, yes. Apparently, it says, if you were part of me when I was saying it, meaning all of the conditions that were going on while I was saying the benching ala kos, you were part of that, and therefore it's as if you had a kos as well, not just as if you were saying the words. All the other conditions are as if you were doing it as well. So says Chaznish, and that's against the Beis HaLevi. That's against the famous Beis HaLevi. What's the Beis HaLevi? The Beis HaLevi in his Sefer on Torah, in Yanei Chanukah, he has a section on Yanei Chanukah, he says that there's no such inyan of Shomei HaKa'ona by Birchas Kohanim. You know, it's always so
perplexing. Why is it that when we have a group of Kohanim who all come from different places, we're all taught to sing differently, some of them are able to sing, some of them are not able to sing, they all get up and they all do Birchas Kohanim, and sometimes it sounds ridiculous. They're singing different tunes, they're waving in a different direction, they're doing all sorts it sounds crazy. Why not have the following? Find the one Kohen who has a good voice, have him do the entire Birchas Kohanim, all the other Kohanim will stand right there next to him, and there'll be Yotzei with it. Shomei Kohane. It works for Kiddush. It works for benching. Why can't it work for Birchas Kohanim? So Beis HaLevi suggested, because Birchas Kohanim has not just a requirement to say the words, but to say the words B'kol Ram. And anytime you have a requirement to say the words B'kol Ram, yeah, Shomei Kohane is as if I said the words, but it's not as if I said the words the way that you said them. When there's a requirement beyond just the words themselves, I can't get that through Shomei Ka'ona. That's what the Beis HaLevi says. Says the Chazon Ish, we see from here that the Beis HaLevi is wrong. Because by Zimun, you have a requirement of Alakos. And yet, we assume that the Shomei Ka'ona doesn't only work as if the other people benched, but as if they benched Alakos. So you see that the Beis HaLevi is incorrect. The Tzafnas Penech, the Rugged Shavers, suggests that if you say like this Beis HaLevi, then the reading of Aseres Bnei Haman also wouldn't work with Shomei Kohane. Because Aseres Bnei Haman has to be read B'Neshima Achas. It's not just reading it. There's a way that it has to be read. So Shomei Kohane works as if I said the words, but not as if I said the words B'Neshima Achas. And therefore, there are many shuls where the minhag is that everybody reads the Aseres Bnei Haman B'Neshima Achas to be choshish for this Ragachavar within that shita of the Beis HaLevi. Rav Schechter quotes Rav Salvechik as saying that maybe not so pashut. He says, you know, Birchas Kohanim is not the only thing that needs to be done b'kol ram. Mikra Bikurim also has to be done b'kol ram. Right? Mikra Bikurim also has to be done b'kol ram. And there's a beferish of Mishnah in Sechs Bikurim that if the guy doesn't know how to do it, we'll be motzim with Shomei Kohana. How can you be motzim with Shomei Kohana? Where is this b'kol ram? So Rav Salvechik suggested that there are different types of requirements beyond just the words. When it comes to Nesias Kapayim, when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, the reason for the Kol Ram is because you need to create a tziruf between the Mevarech and the Misparchim, those who are giving the bracha and those who are receiving the bracha. To create that tziruf, it needs to be ka'adama medaber l'chavero. It needs to be that I'm speaking audibly. Otherwise, there's no connection. If I were up here and not being audible, there would be no connection. You wouldn't be getting any of the ideas that I'm trying to express. So the reason that you need Kol Ram by Birchas Kohanim is for a practical necessity. You could say all the halachic fiction, you know, legal fictions you want. Shomea ka'ona. Oh, when I heard it, halachically, it's a halachic speaking. Yeah, but practically, has anyone heard your halachic speaking? No. So if there's a practical requirement, the practical requirement can't be fulfilled. Yeah, it's as if I spoke, but the practical requirement can't be fulfilled. But when Kol Ram is not a practical requirement, it's a halachic requirement. So the same halachic fiction that says that me listening is as if I spoke will make my listening as if I spoke b'kol ram. By mikra bikurim, there's no practical requirement of kol ram. It's a halachic requirement. By Birchas Kohanim, it's a practical requirement to create that tziruf. That was the brilliant analysis of Rav Salvechik. He had more to say, but we'll leave it out for now. He had more to say that relates to Bal Tosef and Sukkah. Okay, and Bal Minim, but we'll leave it out for now. That was all within the first shita. Second shita that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch is the second shita that we mentioned. Yeshom Sheinatunu Kosel B'Shlosha. You only need a kosher bracha if you have three. If you have three people, you have a mezumen. And as we said, the Zohar, the Arizal, that's the preferred shita in the Mekubalim. And then the Shulchan Aruch says V'Yeshom Rim Sheinatunu Kos Klal Afilu B'Shlosha. That you don't need a kosher at all, even B'Shlosha. And the Rama adds, but still, it's a mitzvah min amuvchar to be mivarech halakos. Now that we have the Shulchan Aruch quoting all three shitas, how does he paskin? Meaning, we need to figure out how to paskin. So, okay, you could cheat and look at the Mishnah Berurah and say whatever the Mishnah Berurah says goes, or you could say, well, maybe there's another approach. Maybe there are different approaches in the poskim. How do you approach when the Shulchan Aruch quotes three deos? So first of all, it's interesting that the Ramah comments on the last one, that mitzvah min ha-muvchar levarich halakos, which may indicate agreement with the last shita. Although the Ramah comments on the second shita as well. But what's the rule in Shulchan Aruch? So it seems to me that we would paskin like the third shita. Why? For a couple of reasons. First of all, the Mechaber writes in the Akdama to the Beis Yosef that he decides Psak Halacha based on the majority of the three shitos of the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rash. And because that's the way he makes his decisions, and over here we know that third shita is the Rambam and the Rif. So of course that must be the way he paskin. Why in this place would he not follow his normal rules? Of course he'd follow the shita of the Rambam and the Rif. In addition to that, it's a klal yadua in the psak of the Shulchan Aruch that when the Shulchan Aruch says yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, then we paskin like the second yesh omrim. When he says just stam alach and then yesh omrim, we paskin like the stam. When he says yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, we paskin like the second yesh omrim. I would imagine the same would be true when he says yesh omrim v'yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, that we paskin like the last yesh omrim, the last one that he leaves you with. So I would think that would be an indicator that we would paskin, that the mechaber means to paskin like the third shita. Rav Avadia Yosef in the fifth chelik of Yechav Adas has a discussion of why the mechaber paskins like the Rambam and the Rif. After all, acharam lahatos, you're supposed to paskin like the majority. Rav Avadia's whole derech hapsak is built on that. It's built on finding the majority and the consensus and paskining like the majority. But his derech hapsak is also built on Maran Beit Yosef. Everything has to follow Maran. But Maran Beit Yosef himself didn't follow the majority. So Rav Avadia struggles with this. It bothers him a lot. How could Maran Beit Yosef not follow the majority? And what he suggests is that the idea of following the majority is when there was a conversation that took place between the different shitos, and they were able to hear each other out, and then they were omid b'minyan, they took a vote, then the majority. But when each one was writing their own halacha sefer in different corners of the world, and they weren't really communicating with each other, and everyone was just writing their own shitos, then you don't have to paskin like the majority. Because the majority didn't get to hear the minority, especially when the minority were the gedolei olam, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rash. And therefore you can follow the greatest Morei Hara'a and the Morei Da'as of the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rash. So there is strong room to assume that that is what the Mechaber meant to paskin like. Now, even if I'm right, and that's what the Mechaber meant to paskin like, the Rama adds, it's still Roy to be Machmir. It's still Kedai to be Machmir to be Mevarech Halakos. And that's probably what leads the Mishnah Berurah to strongly encourage, at least when you have a Mezuman, to be Mevarech Halakos. So why is it that so many people don't do it? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, because wine was expensive. It's too much to mun from people to be Mevarech Halakos all the time. However, that's not the only explanation. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Spinka Aruch HaShulchan, he says that people would just be drunk all the time. It's not a good idea. You know, everyone's going to be in Varech Halakos, breakfast, lunch, and supper. You see what happens at early Shabbos Mincha Minyan when people are coming straight from the Suda Shabbos. I had the misfortune this past week because I had to walk to Lawrence and back from Lawrence to my parents' house. I was davening at one of these house Minyanim for Shabbos Mincha at 1:45. Where everyone comes in drunk, straight from their Shabbos meal. I said to my kids afterwards said, that wasn't okay, right? Like my seventh grader, that wasn't okay, right? I said, let me ask you a shayla. Better to daven be yechidus or better to daven with that minion? They said, oh, for sure be yechidus. I said, better not to daven at all or better to daven with that minion? I said, we're not sure. So I said, better not to daven at all is the answer. But okay, Ramesha also explains that he thinks that the minig is kavua not to be mevarech halakos. So that we didn't get a chance to read it, but if you look on page 7, number 3, Ramesha also thinks that that's become a minig kavua, that we're not mevarech halakos. So while my son has his critiques, I still think I'm somewhat religious. Even if we're not always mevarech halakos.